Hi, everybody. This is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter Our Stories. The podcast can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com, and it's also freely available as a download on iTunes. Today, as always, I have the opportunity and privilege to talk with yet another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I'd like to say hello to Carmen. Hey, Carmen, how are you today?
Hi, Pam, good. How are you?
I'm good. Enjoying a lazy Sunday so far and so delighted to be able to have this conversation with you today. So to get us started, would you formally introduce yourself? Tell us who you are and where you're from and what you do to keep busy.
Hi, everybody. My name is Carmen Shapiro. I'm 49 years old. I'm originally from Spain, but I've been living in the U.S. for 23 years, 22 of which I have been married. And we don't have any children, but we have two cats that really keep us busy. I am a project manager at the IT department of a company that does market research for the pharmaceutical industry. And I have a lot of hobbies, and I never seem to have enough time for them. Like my husband and I have been taking piano lessons for the last 8 years, but that doesn't mean that I can play very well. It just takes a long time to learn something like piano. And what else do I do? Well, I'm involved with the NSA. That's how I met you, Pam, at the conference. And I became the leader of the Philadelphia chapter at the end of last year.
So. Wow. So you have a lot on your plate that keeps you busy.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, I do. So you said that you're a project manager for a market research company?
Yeah. Well, I'm actually in one of the IT departments that the company have. We have a lot of applications that we develop for the website of the company, and our clients get the data from the research that we have through our websites. And my job is to keep the servers for those applications up and running. And if there are any updates that need to be done on the software, the operating system, things like that, I manage all those projects.
Okay, gotcha. I was wondering when you said market research, if you actually did any of that, and if there was a lot of communication in involved in your job.
Well, there is a lot of communication because as far as I have to hold a lot of meetings, my company is a global company, so I work with people in Europe, in Canada, in South America, and I'm in conference lines, conference calls all the time. And actually, my company is one of those companies that has embraced technology, and we are all set up to be able to work from home. Oh. I'm actually able to work from home 2 days a week, and I can connect through my laptop to everything that I need to do. So because of that, because everybody's so separated, I'm constantly on the phone, which, as everybody knows, it's not always our most comfortable medium, but I think that I've become a lot more comfortable because I just have to have to use it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then there is a lot of email communication also. So I do have to communicate a lot, actually.
Do you tell people that you stutter?
No. That has been a struggle of mine for the last few years. I never actually thought of that as an option until learned that the term of disclosure and that people were doing that. The last therapist I had some years ago was the one that mentioned it to me for the first time. And she said, well, you know, you could tell people to put the listener at ease. And I understood the concept, but I didn't feel comfortable with it because I always thought, well, if I can get away with it, why should I disclose something bad about myself? You know, because I saw it as something bad, right? So never did it. Through the chapter meetings that I've attended, I've met people that have done disclosure different ways. And I've understood the value. And but I've always struggled on how to do it. It has always been something that I never knew how to do, because the point is, so if I say to somebody, hey, I stutter, then I'm terrified of the silence that comes after that. I've been able to do it on a natural way, maybe a few times with the help of what I call a crutch, which is when the movie The King's Speech came out some years ago. It was the first time that I told people, you know, this movie is really good. I mean, I was so happy that the movie was that good because I could say, the movie is really good. You should see it. And I can relate to that. And he did it so well because I can see, you know, that's how I am. And with that movie, I was able to talk to my family, to my mother, a little bit more in detail about the specifics. Like, they never knew specifics about how hard it is to order at the restaurants or speak on the phone. And they were like, oh, I never knew that you were having that kind of trouble. And then, like recently, because of the NSA conference, I have told some people, hey, I'm going to Washington, D.C. for this conference because I belong to the support group for people that stutter. And a couple of people have reacted very well. So, as I was saying, I've always done the disclosure with a crutch, but I've never started cold, I'm Carmen and I stutter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm struggling with that, you know, but I think I'll be able to get there eventually. At the conference, I met a lot of people. I learned a lot about disclosure and different ways to do it. And I realized that there is nothing wrong with using a crutch for something like this. Even I could just tell people, you know, when somebody asked me how I'm doing, I could say, well, I'm involved with this group because of this reason, you know. So I think I'm finally starting to find the way towards disclosure, but it's still not 100% comfortable for me.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that you thought, why should I disclose stuttering? Why should I disclose something that is bad about me? Do you think that stuttering is bad?
No, I don't. I don't think about that now. But at the time that was offered to me as an option, I didn't think that it was something that I should be disclosing if I could hide it, right? I wouldn't call myself a covert stutterer, but you know, I've been replacing words, or sometimes maybe I wouldn't want to do some things, and you know, I mean, I don't think that is. I mean, for me, it's very hard to completely hide it. Eventually, I will block. Eventually, I will stutter. So, but, you know, when somebody told me you can disclose, I'm like, well, why should I disclose if I could try all these other ways to not show it? I might not be successful, but I always thought that I could keep trying to hide it, right? So, No, and I've never thought that it was something bad, really. It was just something that was different about me, but I was lucky to be raised in a family that didn't make a big deal about that. It wasn't something that it was talked about. It wasn't that it was ignored, but it was just what was different about me. The same way that one of my sisters had to start to wear glasses since she was very young. And in those days, you were a little kid with glasses, and kids would be laugh at you. Or one of my brothers had an accident when he was young and lost an eye and was blind of one eye. Okay, so everybody in the family had something, right? So mine was stuttering, and I'm fluent a big part of the time, and when I'm not, it's embarrassing mostly for me. But I wasn't laughed at either. I don't know why. But at school, I guess I was able to, I guess, to portray a different kind of persona, and people didn't really laugh at me. At least they never did in front of me. I don't know if they did it behind me. That could be something different. So no, I just thought that it was something different, but that it was something that made me different. Not necessarily bad, but it was something that I always knew that I had to deal with in a way.
Now, you said that you moved here to the United States from Spain 23 years ago. So you grew up in Spain, obviously.
Yeah, I grew up in Spain, and I went to college, and the year that I finished college, I wasn't quite ready to get to work. And I thought, and I always had this dream of going to a different country, even if it was for a short period of time. And my sister had found this agency of au pairs, where you could come to live with a family and take care of the kids while spending a year abroad. And I thought, that's a really safe way to do it, to come here. And I came for a year, and that's exactly what I did. I was able to travel. I improved my English a lot. And that's the year that I met my husband. So after that, I went back home, but then I came back and we got married, and then I moved back.
Oh, what a nice story. But just real quickly, what was it like growing up in Spain? Were there resources available to you as a child for the stuttering?
I went to a therapist for some time. She was more of a psychologist, more than a speech language pathology. And we worked a lot on relaxation and self-confidence and being and taking risks, taking challenges. Like if I had to present something in school, I would rehearse with her and she would give me tips. But it wasn't necessarily on speech patterns or anything like that. It was more relaxation and breathing and self-confidence. And I went to her for quite a while, actually, but it was just the one thing that I did once a week. I went to Madrid to the therapist. And then once I became, I don't know when I stopped, maybe about 12, 13, I really didn't need it anymore. But that was the only thing. I never met anybody else that stuttered. I never knew of support groups or anything like that. No.
Do they have that in Spain? Do they have an association for people who stutter in Spain that you know of?
I don't know, and I haven't looked into that to find out. I'd be curious. I'll definitely will look into that.
And obviously, you speak two lang lang languages. Do you stutter more in Spanish than you do in English?
Actually, I speak a third language because in Spain you can speak four different languages depending on what region you are. You live, and my parents are from the east side of Spain, and there they speak a language called Catalan, which is kind of in between Spanish and French. So in the house, we always spoke that language. And then, depending on where we lived in Spain, because my parents move around a little bit, we would speak Spanish outside the house and in school, and Catalan inside the house. So I was always used to switching languages. When I first started speaking in English, I did stutter more in English. Now I've been here so long that the funny thing is that I still speak English with a Spanish accent, but when I go home, they tell me that now I speak Spanish with an American accent. And when I go home, the first couple of days, because I don't speak Spanish that often here, I start to stutter more in the first couple of days until I level off a little bit. So it's very interesting. It's very interesting how that happens. Like I'm thinking about like I would like to learn some French because we have friends that are from France. But for some reason, I have this idea that French is a very closed language on the vowel sounds, and that I'm gonna stutter more. And for some reason, I'm a little afraid of learning French because I don't want to be stuttering. I'm like, I have to forget about that, you know. I don't have to put the fear in there, but I don't know. It's I guess that for anything that takes us out of our comfort zone, we put this pressure on ourselves.
I think so. I think you're right. I want to ask you one more question before we get to talking about the conference, because I definitely want to hear your impressions about that. But you mentioned something earlier, again when we were talking about disclosure. You mentioned that you're terrified of the silence that might come when you tell somebody that you stutter. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? That was a very interesting thing to say.
Okay, so I like some people disclose very openly when they introduce themselves and they say, "Hi, I'm Carmen and I stutter." And I guess that they move on into the whatever topic they are gonna talk about, but for me, making that such an open disclosure, I feel like I'm naked in front of people. And that everybody's gonna be looking at me about what I just said, because it's something that, how would I say it, is so ingrained and so deep within us. And I feel that I just revealed something very, very intimate about myself. Although it's out there and people will hear me blog and stutter. You know, when I say it before somebody knows, I feel like I'm revealing something very, very personal about myself. And I don't know what to say after that because I don't want to say that I'm sorry if I'm gonna stutter. You know, I've tried to rehearse in my mind how I would say it. So I could say, "I'm Carmen Shapiro, I'm a person that stutters." Should I then say, "Well, if I do, don't worry about it?" Or since I'm not good at telling jokes, I can't make a joke about that. So because I would start stuttering definitely. I just don't know how to move from "Hi, I stutter." And do I completely ignore it and move on? Do I post to offer people a chance to ask questions, and if then is it taking us off the actual topic that the conversation was going to be about? I have a hard time fearing that moment. Mm-hmm. You know, I can talk about stuttering or misstuttering in another context, like as part of a trip, as part of the movie, like I was saying before, as part of something that I do with my own time, being part of the NSA chapter. But when I just say it just like that, I don't know how to move on from that moment. Mm-hmm. I haven't found anybody that can put me at ease on that. I mean, I don't know, because everybody handles it different and they don't tell you exactly precisely how they do it because they're able to move on. But I don't know, to me, it feels so personal and so, I don't know, big to make that declaration.
You know, one of the things that I do, because I work with high school students, I work with primarily 11th and 12th grade students. But part of my job as a recruiter, I have to go out into all the local high schools in my area and talk to 10th grade students and give presentations about the career tech or vocational programs that we offer, and try to get students interested in coming to our program for half a day while they're in high school. And as you can imagine, working with 10th graders, 15-year-olds, they're not always an easy audience to deal with. And I've had occasions where when I've began my presentation and introduced myself, I've had occasions where some kids have laughed or rolled their eyes, and that really bothers me. It bothers me not just as a person who stutters, but as an adult with kids that are being disrespectful. So one of the things that I do I disclose and I say to the kids, "Hi, my name is Pam Mertz or Miss Mertz, and today I'm going to be talking to you about blah blah blah. One of the things that I just want you to know is that I stutter, and I'm okay with it, and I hope that you will be too." And then I move on, and I do it in such a way that I'm being upfront about it and letting them know something about me and what to expect. And I also let them know, like, very, very quickly, I'm okay with it. And like you, I never want my presentations to be about stuttering if that's not what it's supposed to be about. So right. I want it to be something really light and really quick, but I like to be able to put it out there so that the kids won't feel nervous or uncomfortable, which is where I think some of the laughter and the rolling of the eyes comes from.
Right.
So I've just found that saying, you know, I stutter and I'm okay with it, and I hope that you are too, kind of lets people know I'm okay, so you can be too. And I think that's just a quick, easy way to do it. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, because especially I like the part that you say that you are okay with it. Because I could see saying, you know, I stutter, I hope that you are okay with it. But when you say that you are okay with it, it for me says, you know, you don't have to worry about the shame or having to feel rushed if you block or something. I think that that's a very, very important part of it, actually. Mm-hmm. Because you have to be comfortable yourself, right, besides the Marines.
Right.
So yeah, that's good. The other part that I struggle a little bit is with, you know, I find it that it could be easier to volunteer that with somebody that I'm just meeting. but I'm coming to a point in my stuttering path or trip, I would say, that I'm ready to talk more to people that I know and to disclose to them, you know, to say, hey, it's okay. But that's the part that I'm finding a little bit more difficult, because I know I'm not going to be telling them anything new, but and especially in the context of work where people have seen me block, you know, to start disclosing in a group when everybody already knows. I know that it would put me more at ease and it would put them at ease, but it feels like out of nowhere also, you know, to disclose. But I want to. I just have to find a way to do it.
Maybe you could also use a little bit of humor. You know, I know you said you're not good at telling jokes. Neither am I. I never seem to be able to get the timing down or be able to tell a punchline right. But maybe you could, you know, just say something to the effect like, "Hey, I know you guys all know already that I stutter. I just want you to know that it's really showing up today. So just beware," or, you know, something like that.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so you're not disclosing, because you can just say, you know, you all already know, but, you know, it's really showing up today, so just wanted to warn you, or something along those lines. You know, come up with your own way of saying it, and then it's light, and it's lighthearted, it's good natured, and you're not focusing on yourself. You're focusing, like you said, on something they already know.
That's true. That's a very good idea. I like it. Thank you.
You're welcome. So because I don't want to run out of time here, tell me a little bit about how you got involved in your local chapter and actually became the leader.
Well, some years ago. About 6 years ago, I was going through a rough patch, both at work and personally, and it affected my stuttering a lot. I was stuttering more, and I happened to go to a doctor's appointment for something, and the nurse that was doing the pre-work with me, he stuttered. And it wasn't much, but I told him that I stuttered, and he said, "Well, I stuttered too." And I'm like, "But I can't even notice much." He says, "Well, I went to a therapist some years ago." And I'm like, "You know what? Maybe I should look for help and a therapist." And he gave me his therapist, who wasn't taking clients at the time. But because of him, I decided, you know, I'm going to look for a therapist. So I found a therapist that helped me through that patch, just to get myself back on track. And she's the one that suggested going to the meetings. She had been at our chapter meetings before doing presentations, and she had a very big interest on stuttering. So the first time that she mentioned it, I was like, I don't know why I would go to a meeting, but I, you know, then I decided, you know what, whenever I stop going to the therapist, I'm going to need something else. I can't let myself get into these patches where all of a sudden everything, you know, starts to collapse and I can't even handle my own speech. So I decided to go to a meeting. And at the beginning, I wasn't going that often. Maybe every 3 or 4 meetings I would go. But I found it very helpful. The first eye-opener was, you know, that I wasn't such a special stutterer, because my problems with the phone and my problems with introducing myself or saying my own name were universal to any stutterer. That was an eye-opener. But then I could also see the different nuances and the differences between each of us. And I just found that it was a time of my life where I needed to really focus on myself at a personal level. You know, I had spent my life focusing on my career, focusing on others, you know, building a home and taking care of people. And I decided, you know, I should do something for me. And even if it's only 2 days a month that I go to these meetings, is my time. It's time for me. So that's where I continue to go. And having that experience of that it was good for me, it was also good that I wanted to be there for when others came and they were looking for help. I wanted to be there with when any person came. I didn't know what to expect of the meeting and didn't know what he or she was getting into because I could relate to that and I thought that I could help. And then the leader of our chapter had been doing it for a very, very long time, and it was time for him to step down. And once we got some issues resolved, because the place that we were meeting was under construction for a year and we were moving from place to place for a while. But once we were back to our old location, he said, you know, I need to step down. And I decided, you know, I should probably take this challenge and take it on and be the leader now. I didn't want the group to die. We have a lot of problems with attendance. Mm-hmm. And I thought, at the very least, I want to keep it moving and see what I can do. So I took it on last year.
Oh, okay. So it's been a year.
Well, since the end of November of last year. It's been like 7-8 months.
Okay. And what's the name of your chapter?
It's the Philadelphia chapter.
Okay.
Philadelphia chapter, yeah. The chapter has been around for almost 30 years now.
Wow.
Yeah. But we just don't have a lot of people coming nowadays. And, you know, I think that in the last years, we really haven't done much in terms of advertising and reaching out. And we've just been relying on members that were coming or on people finding out through our website or through the NSA website. But we haven't been very proactive with reaching out. So that's one of the things that I am looking to focus on. And that was one of the drivers that I had to go to the NSA conference this year for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to talk to other chapter leaders and see what they do.
So that's a perfect segue into the next part of our conversation. So you just recently returned from your first National Stuttering Association conference. What was it like?
It was awesome. I'm getting emotional because it was a roller coaster of emotions. When I came home and my husband asked me, well, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the best, how was it? I said, 15. I mean, because I hadn't gone to conferences the other years because they were always far away. I didn't know much about what the conference was about, and I didn't have a reason to commit the vacation days and the money for a flight and hotel just to go to the conference. But now, being a chapter leader and being so close to Philadelphia, I thought, well, at least I should go to one conference and check it out by myself. And I thought, you know, I can talk to, at the very least, I can talk to chapter leaders and see what they do. So that was my goal, to go to the conference. I never had intentions or expectations that it would help me at a personal level more than at a chapter level. And And indeed, as I was looking at the program before the conference, just looking at the things that I wanted to attend, I was like, okay, well, I had to make some tough choices because there were too many things that I wanted to go to and I had to choose. And I was able to find things that helped me at a personal level as well as to my chapter. I loved everything about it. I loved how open and welcoming everybody was. About a month or two ago, I had somebody call me. His name is Greg Benedict called, saying, hey, I've been at the conference many times. I know that you're a first timer. If you have any questions, you know, call me or write to me. And I'm like, oh, geez, you're just calling me? Yeah. It was one of those days that I was at home from work, and he called me, and I'm like, wow, I just got a call from the NSA. And I'm like, you know, so that was really nice, you know, the fact that we had our first timers meet at the very beginning. That was great to start to meet people. And it wasn't just because I met people at that first meeting, but I think that the value was it got me comfortable to introduce myself to people. And I continued to do that through the whole conference, you know, and having the badge saying that I was a first timer and a chapter leader, that gave me a lot of confidence to introduce myself to people. As a matter of fact, the first day, I had met some people, but I needed to find somebody to go to dinner to. And I thought, well, I went to the room to drop off my materials, and I was going down to the lobby to see who I could join to go to dinner. And these two ladies were at the elevator and they had the badges from the conference. And I just said to them, hi, I'm Carmen and I'm a first timer. And they said, oh, hi, nice to meet you. Do you have anybody to go to dinner to? And I'm like, no. And they said, do you want to join us? Like, yeah. So, and throughout the whole conference, everybody was so open. I had no problems or no fears to go to anybody I found and say, hi, I'm Carmen, it's my first time. You know, what are you doing? What conferences have you been to? So that was the first thing that was amazing, how open and welcoming everybody was. And then, again, I was able to go to sessions that were very helpful. I went to a session on disclosure, you know, I went to a couple of sessions for chapter leaders, how to do outreach and things like that. They were very helpful. I made a lot of contacts that I'm going to pursue. And there were a lot of very emotional statements being done. I don't know. I was, every day I go back to my room, I was exhausted. Not just physically, but mentally and emotionally. You know, it was great. It was great.
Mm-hmm. What would you say was your favorite memory?
Oh gosh, I don't know. There are so many. I mean, I don't know, maybe especially, I guess that I was left with a sense of being so welcome and being able to open up. And, you know, I can't pinpoint a specific moment. There were many, but it's just that good feeling that I'm like, you know, I've been looking for something else to get more involved with in my life. At my age, I think that I found it. I think that I can now say, you know, I really want to get more involved with my chapter. I want to do more with this, just because it's helping me. I mean, this past week, I feel so good about myself. and about opening up and start telling people that this it's just great.
Mm-hmm. You said that you talked to your husband about it since you've been back, and you've rated it a 15 on a scale of 1 to 10. Have you talked to him about any of the special moments and just the overall positivity and joy that you've got from it? Have you been able to talk to him? Or
yes, I did. I was telling him everything about being so open, about having so many families and children there, about all the people I met, how open everybody was, how welcoming, all the contacts I've made, all the things I've learned from the chapter leader point of view, all these things that I can do. I was able to share a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things, yeah.
Do you think that he might be interested in coming along with you to a future conference if you go to another one?
He might. I think that he's concerned about not having a lot to do, but I think that after what I've seen, I think that he would. I think that he's gonna have to go a little bit through the same process I've gone through, you know, because he and I have talked about my stuttering and things like that, but never at a very deep level, because I wasn't able to share before the way I'm starting to do now. So I think that he's gonna have to go through a little bit of that trip himself, you know. I mean, because I would like him to really see a little bit more about how I am and how things affect me and all of that. I've kind of always been a little bit more guarded about that part of myself, even with him. So I think that as I start to open up a little more, he will also get there.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that I was thinking after I came back from the conference, that aren't many things for teens and families, but they're more geared with about parents and children. There isn't much about when it's you and your spouse. And your spouse is not necessarily going to see what other children do. And it's not that the spouse has to come to the other adult sessions for the people that stutter. But I would like to see something different for, you know, that really focuses on your companions, on your partners, you know, as adults, adult to adult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I don't think that they understand it either, you know, what's going on. And not all of us have always been able to be as open with them as, you know. So I don't know, that's the one part that I would like to also work a little bit on.
Yeah. Last year and the year before, there were a couple of spouse workshops. And
oh, okay.
They were put on by a person who stutters and their spouse that had elected to do a workshop like that. So maybe that's something that you could think about if you decide that you'd like to go to next year's conference to mm-hmm. Chicago. Maybe you could, now that you're a veteran.
Yeah, exactly. Just one.
maybe you could think about submitting a proposal to do a workshop mm-hmm. from an adult who stutters per perspective and her spouse, and that might be something that would be really helpful for you and your husband and for other people people that would like to attend something like that. It's just a thought.
Well, you know, I was thinking how, you know, how on the last big session we had the father that gave such an emotional speech.
Yes.
Right. And how he went to, you know, it was the first time him and his family came because his daughter stuttered. And he was like, you know, I spent all my life looking for therapists to fix this or fix that. And then I went to this session where kids told the things that they didn't want parents to do. And I was doing all of them, you know, and that was an eye-opener for him. I kind of wish that I could do something like that. You know, but, you know, I don't want you to do this or I want you to do this other stuff. But it's not always easy to say those things when you're in a relationship, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to take that day at a time. So I don't know. I feel that that's an area that could use some help and work on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you have shared so much today. I can't believe how quickly this time has flown. It just seems like we've run the gamut of emotions and you've shared so much. I really appreciate how open you've been, and I just want to thank you so much for being a guest and for sharing your conference experiences and a little bit about your life as well.
Oh, thank you very much, Pam. It has been my pleasure.
This is going to be an episode I believe strongly that will inspire other people to consider going to a conference for the first time, and for people to also, you know, consider joining their local chapter. And you've been really inspiring today, and I just want you to know that.
Thank you very much, Pam.
Yeah, and we do need to end. So this has been just wonderful getting to know you, and this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.